Thank you, Pastor. You can be seated. I was going to say no. Take your Bible, if you will, and go to Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59. What a joy it's been to have each of you here. And I know that all of us would express the same thing, that God is at work in our hearts and lives. And each message just seems to strike another chord and yet the same chord, and really puts line upon line and precept upon precept. And I believe we will leave this conference changed because of what God is doing, and I trust able to do more for him because of it. And certainly we are thankful as a church family and as a staff that you've been here to be with us. It's been an honor to be around you and to co-labor with you in the work of Christ. Isaiah chapter 59, if you will, beginning with verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth. And that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not. There is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us. Neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. I call your attention back to a phrase in verse 13. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God. The world this morning is on a fast track away from God. Sunday is no different than any other day. Church, well, that's for weddings and funerals. Religion has been reduced to values and viewpoints. God, I'll be my own God. Truth, fallen in the street. I'd like you to meet someone this morning. Her name is Maria Jose Cristerna. She is known as Marie Vampiro, or Vampire Woman. This 35-year-old woman has tattooed nearly 100% of her body. She has multiple face piercings, titanium implants to create the horns, dental implants to create the fangs, surgically changed the color of her eyes. We say, Brother Getch, that's repulsive. That's satanic. That's evil. This lady was raised in a deeply religious home. She attended religious schools for all of her schooling. She was married in white at the age of 17. Went to law school, finished, and started a career in law. She's married with 4 children and claims to live a normal life. Why is this happening? How is this happening? Is this a normal life? Has this become normal? That's somebody's daughter. How can we stop this? How can we stop that from being your daughter? Or your granddaughter? We hold up God. We hold up the Bible. We hold up truth. We hold up righteousness. And yet the generation coming after us is running for the exit. And when they go through the doors, that's what's waiting for them. That's what's welcoming them. And somebody in this room better block some exits. Somebody in this conference better decide that while we can sit at a conference like this and on the front row, say amen and wave a Bible, we might want to just glance over our shoulder because the generation coming after us is heading for the exit. And somebody better block the door. God said, I sought for a man among them that would stand in the gap, that would make up the hedge against it, that I might not destroy it. I found none. God is looking for some people this morning to barricade some exits. And I want to give you just quickly this morning 3 strategies for blocking the exit. First, we must exalt a righteous standard of truth. In verse 14, the Bible tells us that truth is fallen in the street. Friends, we are the guardians of truth. We are the ones that have the truth. No one in this room denies that. Everyone understands that we hold the very truth of God. And yet we've allowed somehow the truth to have fallen in the street. In verse 3, he says, your lips have spoken lies. He says in verse 4 that no one is pleading for truth. In verse 13, he tells us we're lying against the Lord and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. My friend, this generation is sick of our opinions. They're tired of our experiences. They're tired of our stories, our arguments, our logic, our counsel. They're running for the doors. Jesus tells us, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The only way we're going to block these doors, the only way we're going to keep the generation coming after us from heading for the exits is to sanctify them through the truth of the word of God. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Preach the word. The word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The generation coming after us, they don't even know their own heart. They don't understand their heart. You and I don't know our heart. Our heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. Who can know it? But here is a book of truth, the word of God that discerns. It is like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces. It is like a fire that consumes the very wood. It is a book that brings out to light. It reveals the very heart of man. And we have got to exalt a righteous standard of truth. As the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Folks, if we're going to have revival, if we're going to see this world change for the glory of God, it's not going to come through our techniques. It's not going to come through some new method. It's not going to come through our mechanics or our manipulation. It's going to come through the very truth of God's word. Forget the hype. Forget the emotion. There will be no revival without the convicting, piercing, penetrating power of the word of God. In Malachi 2 and verse 6, the law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. And oh, how we need some moms, and we need some dads, and we need some preachers, and we need some young people today that will grab the very truth of the word of God and head for a door and block the exit. To stop the stampede, we must exalt a righteous standard of truth, and thy word is truth. But secondly, we must exercise a revived showing of truth. You see, we must preach the word, but we must practice the word. We must preach the truth, but we've got to practice the truth. We've got to speak the truth, but we've got to show the truth. In verse 3, he said, your hands are defiled. Your fingers have iniquity. In verse 6, their works are works of iniquity. Their acts are violent acts. In verse 7, he talks about our feet. He talks about our thoughts. In verse 8, he speaks of our crooked paths. Maybe we've gotten pretty good at preaching the word, but how are we doing at practicing it? In all things, willing to live honestly. I'll be honest with you, it's a lot easier to preach the truth than it is to live the truth. I've heard my pastor say many times, you'll fail at being a Christian long before you'll fail at being a preacher. An instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and the truth and the law. Thou therefore that teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest thou shalt not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Physician, heal thyself. No one respects our message if they don't respect our manner. Have you noticed that young people do not shop at garage sales? You do, because it's cheap. I don't see teenagers at garage sales. Say to your teenager, hey, let's go get you some school clothes. Where are we going, Dad? Oh, thought we'd try Salvation Army, Goodwill, hit a garage sale or two. Dad, come on. Can't we at least go to Walmart? Target? The generation coming after us doesn't want what we're throwing away. The generation coming after us doesn't want what you're selling at reduced rates. If it doesn't work for you, they don't want it. They're not going to try to fix it. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Children will follow your path, not your preaching. These college students, they act like they're listening to preaching in chapel. And they're very kind to say amen once in a while. They don't listen to half of it. If you asked our college students, they hear 13 messages a week. If you asked them about to name five top messages from last year, they probably couldn't remember two. But they do watch how we live. They watch our pastor go through trials. They watch our staff. They watch our church people. We must exalt a righteous standard of truth. We got to preach it. We must exercise a revived showing of truth. We've got to practice it. But then thirdly, we must engage in a rigorous schooling of truth. We've got to pass it on. In verse 4, none calleth for justice. None pleads for truth. In verse 9, they're waiting for light, but there is none. They're groping along the wall. They're as blind men. They're in the night, and they're hoping for some light. They're hoping for some guidance, but it's not there. These words which I have commanded you shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. How diligently are we passing this truth on? Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. To whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? They that are weaned from the milk, that are drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. You say, yeah, but preacher, these kids these days, this generation these days, they just don't listen. They're listening to the world. They're listening to the call of materialism. They're listening to the voice of Satanism. They're listening to the sound of all the isms and all the other teachings. They're listening to somebody. Maybe we're not very good teachers. a sad thing to think that somebody could influence a young lady like that better than we could. To think that we who have the truth and we have the Holy Spirit of God within us as we teach and preach the Word of God and live and practice the truth, and we have the Holy Spirit of God to guide them into that very truth, and yet we are failing to a bunch of heathen teachers. In Ezra chapter 7 and verse number 10, it summarizes these truths this morning. For Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Ezra found the standard of truth. Then he lived that truth, he showed that truth, and then he schooled others in that truth. When you get home, look at your kids. Look at your grandkids. Take a walk through your Sunday school department. Before you go preach, maybe peek in on junior church. Or maybe look out your office window as the children are getting off the buses. Or maybe just have somebody take a picture of the teen room. And we're reaching them. They're coming. But sad to say, after a few years in our home, and a few years in our Sunday school, after a few years in the junior church program and the youth department, they're running for the doors. And somebody better stop them. Somebody better get there before they do and block the exit. May God help us to lift truth from the street, to begin to walk in that truth, and then to use every fiber of energy in our body to pass it on.